I was a practicing clinician working in a home health agency model. I wasn't allowed to dose my patients as per best practice guidelines. So I said, there's gotta be a way to do this better.
My grandmother and my grandfather, I started seeing them going in and out of long-term care. It started personal, seeing the sick side of 80, and now it's been exciting to be part of Fox.
Light bulb moment.
Like, that's a complete game changer.
You can see what we can do as a practice and as treating clinicians to really make 80, 85 look so much different than it did back that long ago.
And boil it down into one saying, it's quite simply this. It's be stronger, live better longer.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fox Rehabilitation's Live Better Longer podcast, the podcast dedicated to clinicians who work with older adults. My name is Jim Scheer, and on today's episode, I will be speaking with my father-in-law. Yeah, so here's the inspiration for the episode. My father-in-law is 81. He'll be 82 in July, and he cuts wood. True story. Axe, chainsaw, the whole nine. And I think he's even created his own wood splitter. So my wife, our two children, that's their grandfather, that's my wife's dad. We live in New York City. So a couple summers ago, we visited and we knew that he would be cutting wood. So we drove past the lumber yard and it must have been 80 or 90 degrees outside. And we pull up. And he's in denim overalls, sleeveless t-shirt, sunglasses, and he is just going to town on the wood like Paul Bunyan. He's the real life Paul Bunyan. And when I saw that, I said to myself, oh my gosh, this is the embodiment of the title of this podcast, Live Better Longer. And of course, that's one of our trademark sayings at Fox Rehabilitation. And I said, he's got to be on the podcast. That's it. Now, I want to point out that my father-in-law is not a Fox Rehabilitation patient. He is just an older adult who is living better, longer. And I wanted to talk about that today. Because truth be told, and I say this with a straight face, this is not hyperbole, my father-in-law is the most active 81-year-old person that I know. And if you talk to anyone who knows him, they will confirm that. And I was recently speaking with my mom, and I said, hey, guess who's going to be on the podcast next week? She said, who? And I said, Abe. That's the name of my father-in-law. That's what everyone calls him. And she said, yeah, of course. Of course, he's the perfect guest. So yes, my father-in-law will be the guest today. He's a mix between MacGyver and the Dos Equis guy. Because he can make anything out of anything. So I've known my wife. I mean, we're coming up on almost 30 years of knowing each other. And in that time, if there's anything that broke or needs to be fixed, Abe is the guy that will do it. And he has everything in his garage. So I'm not sure if he is the world's most interesting man, like the Dos Equis guy, but he would give that guy a run for his money. And he would definitely give MacGyver a run for his money. And MacGyver, that's fiction. This is real. All right. So anyway, before I bring on my father-in-law, I just want to remind all of you that Fox Rehabilitation is throwing another Game Day event on Thursday, May 9th. If you are new to Game Day, here's the deal. We ask all senior living communities, could be in the country, could be in the world, because we broadcast this thing on Facebook. So we ask all senior living communities to gather around their residents, turn on the Facebook Live, and then participate in our live trivia event. So the one in May, it's going to be Mother's Day and spring themed. So if you want to have fun, if you like trivia, join us for Fox Rehabilitation's Game Day happening on Thursday, May 9th, 10:30 a.m. East, 9:30 a.m. Central. And to join, go to Fox Rehabilitation's Facebook page and click on the events link. Now it is time to bring on this week's guest. Please welcome to Fox Rehabilitation's Live Better Longer podcast, my father-in-law, Howard Abel, a.k.a. Abe.
Welcome.
All right. Thank you. Hi, buddy.
Now, the inspiration for this podcast, I think it was last summer. It was a really hot day outside, and we drove past the lumber yard, and you had your chainsaw, and you were cutting tree trunks like lunch meat. And I thought, oh my gosh, like this would be a perfect episode for the podcast because our founder, Dr. Tim Fox, he always says that he wants to be riding dirt bikes at the age of 100. And there you were in the lumberyard. You were 80 years old at the time, chopping up tree trunks. So that is why you are on the Live Better Longer podcast, because I think you are living better longer. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think you're very easily impressed.
No, but seriously, when you're cutting wood, don't other people comment on that?
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, you get a little puffy chest once in a while when somebody says, wow, you're doing that at 80 years old. But I don't know. I just like to keep active. It's fun. I enjoyed working with wood. I always have, and had an opportunity to, you know, start on the wood lot down there, cutting cordwood. And it's just morphed into something that I can occupy my free time with.
Well, can we back up? I want to start when you were in your 30s and 40s. Because we show this graph all the time at Fox Rehabilitation. It's called the slippery slope of aging. And when you're in your 20s and 30s, you're functionally having fun. And then the slope just drops once you go 60, 70, 80, 90. So let's start around 30 or 40 years old. What were you doing professionally at that point?
I worked for a public utility gas company, and I was in engineering, planning, and designing, you know, pipeline systems and establishing how a system functions when an additional load is put on the system and so forth. So we did computer modeling, things of that nature.
So was it a desk job, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're doing that, and then when does that end?
Probably in the 80s.
And then where did you transition after that?
Well, I had an opportunity. A friend of mine did some accounts payable auditing for large grocery chains. Mm-hmm. And he needed somebody to do some clerical work for him. So I figured, you know, a few extra bucks, why not? And I started doing the paperwork for him, and I was looking at what he was doing, and it became kind of interesting. I thought, gee whiz, this isn't really rocket science. I could do this. and the job entitled you being an independent contractor. So you were like a bounty hunter. You got a percentage of errors that you found. And I came across a real nice claim one time. He gave me a couple clients to audit. I thought, you know what, this is great. I could get out of the corporate world and get into working for myself. And so I left the gas company on a whim one day and decided to go into that.
And this was also a desk job.
It was, but I had my own office. I could call my own hours. And I always wanted to have a job that, you know, it's like making giggly pins. I got paid for as many as I could make. So it was kind of unique because sometimes we would work till 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and then, you know, would take Thursday off and go play golf. So
right.
it was a unique experience. I really enjoyed it.
So gas company auditing, you're sitting down for these, but I should point out that you are active because you were a fire chief, right?
Yes, I started with the volunteer fire service in the local area when I was 18 years old, and I'm still a member, but I've obviously retired now. But I worked my way up through the ranks till eventually I was elected chief for 13 years. I also was involved in building fire trucks. I had a part-time job in my basement here. I built fire trucks and had like a four-wheel drive shop, sold Jeep parts and things of that nature. So I've always been kind of sticking my nose in the things, you know, if you will.
So I met you when you were auditing.
Yes.
And I remember when I met you, I remember you would always walk the track with Mr. Worth.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So at what point in your life did staying active become important? Or were you just always active?
when I was 12, 13 years old, we moved from the city out to the suburbs, and the lot that my parents bought and consequently built the house on used to be a cornfield. And so I got in touch with the farmer, and I actually worked on the farm the whole time until I graduated from high school. And I really had an appreciation for agriculture and working with animals. I'd get up every morning and milk two cows. And I had 250, 300 chickens all the time. We had to take care of them. And sadly, the farmer passed away the second year that I worked there. So I kind of ran the farm. I was, you know, plowing fields and doing the whole nine yards. So he gave me an appreciation for nature and gave me an opportunity to follow my desires. And consequently, I wound up going to get my degree at Penn State in agriculture.
So you were never not active?
Probably not, no.
Okay.
I try to keep busy.
Because it's not like you were, it's not like you had a midlife crisis and said, oh my gosh, like I've been sitting on my butt for the last 10 years. I better do something active now. You've always been moving and doing something and tinkering with something.
No, you know, there is a caveat here that probably you don't want to know about, but or your followers don't want to, but I smoked my whole time during this whole period.
No, I know. That's on my list. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, quite heavily. And at some point when I was in the auditing phase, I just said, you know what? This is crazy. I don't really need this. And so one day I just chucked them in the fireplace and said, to hell with it. And I quit smoking. And that kind of prompted me to start walking around the track and get some exercise, because I had penalized myself in that I don't have the lung capacity that I should have. And
so did you, when you were smoking, did you feel something? Were you short of breath? Or did you just think one day, hey, this isn't healthy, I should probably stop smoking?
I realized that it just wasn't good. You know, it was probably simultaneous with all the advisories that was going on through the legislation for all the tobacco companies and everything.
And that's also kind of legendary, because I've had friends and family members, and it's very difficult for them to stop smoking. So how were you able just to give it up cold turkey?
I just don't like anything controlling me. And so I figured it was, and I didn't want that to be the case. So
this is where the story gets interesting. So you stop auditing, right? Mm-hmm. Now at that point, did you quote unquote retire?
Well, the reason I stopped auditing was the main client that we had moved to over in Ohio. And at that point, I was 60 years old, and I was not about to pick up roots and move my family, because I had to follow the client. And so I said, well, time to move on. So I didn't really retire. I just I took a part-time job for a while just to make a few bucks with the school district over here. They needed a part-time custodian, and the school was in my backyard, so it was a win-win for me. I just jumped over the fence and went to work.
So after the auditing gig, you didn't think, all right, I'm done, I might pick up a small job here and there, but I'm pretty much retired?
No, I was looking. Sometimes it pays to have a lot of contacts, if you will, because I ran into a fellow whose son was starting up a business, and he said that he was looking for somebody to start with him. So I contacted him, interviewed with him, and started with a data processing, not data processing, but data cabling communication company.
Now, how old were you when you took this job?
60.
Okay. So I remember this, and we said, wait, Dad, what are you doing? And you said, oh, like I'm going underground, and I'm going up here, and I'm laying cable, and we're laying fiber optics. And we said, what?
And what was really strange was I had, like, I knew there were two wires to a telephone, and that was it. I had no knowledge of what the whole company was about. But the gentleman who started this company said, no, don't worry about it. You seem like you are interested in mechanics and so forth, so you shouldn't have any problems picking it up. And he trusted me, and since then, he's turned it into a multi-million-dollar organization with, I don't know, 50, 60-some employees now.
Because they do it all, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the whole nine yards, yes.
Like, they'll hook up a company, like a large venue with Wi-Fi and all the wires and all that good stuff.
Oh, yes, yes. They've really grown. It's amazing. And it was exciting for me to be in on the ground floor because I was the first employee that he had. And we've become great friends ever since. And, you know, I'm still a part of the organization. I go to their Christmas parties and everything, get invites and stop it on and just meet all the people again. And it's fun. It's been a great experience.
But that's when I first doubted you. So if only I knew your whole story back then, because when you were in your 60s, traveling the country, wiring up different businesses, weren't you underground too with some of those jobs?
Yes, they, you know, down in the vaults, the underground vaults, a lot of the cabling was underground. So,
and we said, he's in his 60s. Like, what is he doing? So right there, that was us being ageist. Little did we know that 20 years later, you would even take it up another notch when you end that. Because didn't you retire? You at some point retired from laying cable.
Yes, I retired at 65.
Okay.
I left a little bit early before my full retirement age. I waited till my 65th birthday and decided to hang it up.
All right. So at that point, then you were doing some farming, and this was just maybe a couple of years ago, you started cutting lumber.
Yes. Well, after I retired from the, you're laughing at me. That's not nice.
I know it. I know, and I shouldn't.
You shouldn't
and the
be
thing
making
is,
fun of old people.
No,
Jim.
Because when our founder, Dr. Tim Fox, says, I want to ride dirt bikes at 100, sometimes mm-hmm. I'll chuckle and I'll think, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't chuckle because that's not such a silly thing. If he wants to do that at 100, he should be able to do that when he's 100. So I apologize for chuckling.
Well, no, I'm teasing you, but I caution because I did off-road racing, and it's kind of hard on the back. So I don't know how that's going to work at 100, but good luck to him. Once I retired from the cabling company, I started, a friend of mine who I'd been through the fire service with, he retired and had a farm about 15, 17 miles away from me where he had an apple orchard. And so I went out and having an interest in agriculture, of course, I went up there and started helping him with the orchard. And he also raised bees to pollinate his apple crop. He had like 350 trees at one time. So I got involved in keeping the bees. And unfortunately, over a period of time, he came down with prostate cancer and he passed. So when his wife put the farm up for sale, one of the conditions was that I was to maintain the apple trees and the bees for a mm-hmm. while. So I did that for a while. And then eventually the owner decided he wanted to put in a wedding venue. So that wasn't going to work too well with a bunch of beehives.
So, no.
So I moved them down to my local area and I still have them today.
So you're doing beekeeping.
Yes.
And then when does the wood cutting come along?
I've been doing that for, this will be my fourth year now.
Wow. Because I remember when that started, we weren't surprised because of the fiber optic cable laying you did when you were in your 60s. But we thought, how's this going to work? Because you're creeping up on 80 and now you're 81 looking at 82. But after you did it for a while, then we just nodded our heads and we thought, yeah, well, this makes sense. And he's probably better at doing this than people like half his age or even like four times. You're probably better than all the Gen Zers that work at the lumber yard.
I'm not going to say that, but I can't do nearly what I used to be able to do. But I've always enjoyed cutting firewood. We have a hunting camp up north. And we always keep a fire going up there out in the yard and do some cooking over the open fire and so forth. So I've always enjoyed working with a chainsaw and cutting up cordwood. I made my own log splitter. So that kind of had an interest. And then a friend of mine work for this tree service. And he said, you know what? He has a, we have a log yard down there where we sell cordwood from the, you know, the timber that we cut down from taking trees down. And rather than throw them through the chipper, if they're the good hardwood, why, we make cordwood out of it. So I said, well, yeah, I'd be interested. So I started doing that. Well, shortly thereafter, COVID hit, and it was hard for the guy to find help. So instead of me working in the yard, I wound up on the crew all winter long. And I did sometimes 7 days a week working.
So when you show up on the crew and you say, hey, I'm 80 years old, what's the reaction like, especially for some of the younger workers?
Well, for one thing, they won't let me climb trees because they think I'm old. So I have to stay on the ground and feed the chipper.
Okay.
But no, it's, you know, they're great guys to work with. We have a great time. You're teasing each other all the time and everything. And I'm the old man, and they make jokes about my age and everything, but it's all in good fun.
But when do you, like, because when does that flip? Because when does that teasing turn into respect? Because I saw you down on the lumberyard stacking all the wood, and mm-hmm. it's just so perfectly stacked. And you might not say it, but I would think that, like, a kid on college break couldn't stack wood as good as you do.
Yeah, every now and then my boss will send one of the young kids down to help me, and I kind of have to take stuff apart and restack it sometimes. I take pride in my work. If I can puff my chest out a little bit, I like, you know, a nice neat stack, and it looks good too for the people who come to purchase wood. So,
but do you sense it on the crew that after they see your work ethic, that they then respect you, and they probably even forget about your age at some point?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm kind of like one of the guys. I've been able to blend in with them all right. So,
because yeah, over the 4 years that you've cut lumber, it's just kind of like common now. We're like, oh yeah, that's what he does. Because when we mention it, when me and Tori mention it to other people, they're like, whoa, wait, back up, wait, how old's your dad? And he's cutting lumber with a chainsaw. We're like, yeah, that's what he does. So we accept it now because we've seen this whole trajectory.
Well, you know, when I retired, I made a promise to myself. I said, you know, I just don't like to sit around, and I am going to give myself a goal that I am going to try to accomplish at least one task every day. I don't care if it's just washing my car, my truck, or whatever, mowing the grass. I want to accomplish one thing rather than just sit around watching TV, because I think a big eye-opener was when I went to my 50th high school reunion, and I'm looking around and I'm seeing people coming in with, you know, the walkers with the tennis balls on them. In the bottoms of the legs and in wheelchairs and everything. And I'm thinking, nah, this can't be right. These people are all my age. So it was an eye-opening experience. And I just made up my mind that I was going to do whatever I could to remain active. And I joke, you know, I'm not ready to die yet because there's a lot of people I haven't pissed off yet.
You are active knowing that it is healthy, because I know you like to be outside, you like to do things, but you also yes. know that you doing these tasks also is very healthy for you.
It is, but I'll be honest, I break a lot of the rules. I mean, two of my favorite foods are salt and sugar. I am not shy about, you know, fast foods, or I'm not a fanatic on a health nut as far as my diet goes, but I think, I don't know, a lot of it has to do, I feel, with attitude. If you think positive rather than being down, you know, and oh, woe is me type thing, they're not putting forth an effort like they should be. I don't know if I agree with this working at home type thing.
Watch it. Watch it.
Yeah, I know. I had to get that dig in there.
No, I appreciate you being old school. You earn things through hard work.
Yes, and my parents, they were from Hard Knocks. I mean, they come up after the war period, And it gave me a sense of being frugal, if you will, all cheap, whatever. But, you know, I budget. I don't know. It's just, I think if one surrounds himself with a lot of good people, friends, it pays off in the long run. I think it's a lot to do with attitude. Certainly, genetics has a lot to do with
right.
how you age, for sure. And another thing that I have been very fortunate in, all the different jobs that I've had, be it luck or whatever, the people have all been very supportive. They're like working with family, if you will. And even when I worked at the gas company, I could sit down with the president of the company and have lunch and just talk one-on-one, first-name basis.
That's important. And,
It is. It makes it, you don't think, oh, woe is me. I got to get up, you know, Monday morning and go to work. It can make life miserable. But if you're comfortable with where you work and comfortable with what you do, I think it's important.
If Tim Fox listens to this podcast, you may end up being the new spokesperson for Fox Rehabilitation.
I don't think so. I'm not very good at speaking.
We'll just take pictures of you cutting wood and we'll say, be stronger, live better, longer. That's our catchphrase. You live it.
There you go.
So my last question, what's the long game for you? Do you see yourself cutting wood at 90?
I would think that I would like to have it happen. Now, I'm a realist, though. I can't do what I used to be able to do. Instead of carrying an 8-foot log, I learned to cut it in half and take 2/4, if you will. But my knees aren't what they should be. So, you know, you just take shorter steps and walk a little more careful. But I enjoy working with my hands. I enjoy finding a challenge and finding a solution to a problem. And that's been my nature. So,
but you're not looking at a set date where you say, when I'm this age, I'm just going to ride off to the sunset and do nothing, because I couldn't see that happening with you, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I can't see myself ever sitting in a corner somewhere. I just, that's not me.
That's why you should be the spokesperson for Fox Rehabilitation. That's why you were on this podcast.
I think you're just hard up for entertainment.
No, but I had Donny Iris on last year. He's around 81. He's around your age.
Yes.
And I said, when I was younger, I would always look up to rock stars or athletes. But as I get older, as I creep up on 50, I look towards people like you for inspiration now. Because I say to myself, yeah, I want to be active when I'm 80. I want to be playing music when I'm 80. I don't want to be sitting around. So it's funny how inspirations change as you get older. So now I'm looking at you and I'm looking at Donny Iris and I'm like, yeah, I want to be like those guys when I get older.
Well, I have an extra chainsaw. Come on down. I'll put you to work.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
Because I'm afraid I could get hurt. And you, last question. Prior to you cutting wood, you had actually chopped off your finger at camp. So when this opportunity came up, you're like, no way, I can't be around chainsaws all day. Like, I'm scarred from that experience. Apparently, you weren't scarred by that experience.
Well, I didn't really chop it off. I smashed it.
Okay.
And I had it cut off.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit different, but it's a joke, you know. I always tease them, keep your finger out of there because this is what happens. And I show my hand. I say, always tease up the kids. I can only count to 9.5 because I have part of my fingers missing.
Well, thank you for doing the podcast today.
Thanks for the invite. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
I might have you back because I'm sure there's probably more adventures in your journey.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Yes. So as of this recording, I'm actually going to see you in a few days. So
yes.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
So for Abe, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see Yinz later.